Welcome to Chasing the Word on Compassion Radio. Well, friends, when life seems filled with contradictions, what do? You take them to the Word and see what God has to say about it. And that's what we've been doing each week with this latest Chasing the Word series here on Compassion Radio. Taking it phrase by phrase, Sandy and I unpack the rich wisdom and what sometimes looks like serious contradictions found in the book of Ecclesiastes. We'll get to that in just a moment, but first, we'll start with an excerpt from this month's special music premium, written and performed by our good friend and ministry partner, Michael O'Brien.
When you're up against a struggle that shatters all your dreams, and your hopes have been cruelly crushed by Satan's manifested schemes, and you feel the urge within you to submit to earthly fears, and don't let the faith you're standing in seem to disappear. He can work through those who praise Him. Praise the Lord. For our God inhabits praise. Praise the Lord. For the chains that seem to bind you serve only to remind you that they drop powerless behind you when you praise Him. Satan is a liar, and he wants to make us think that we are paupers, when he knows himself we're children of the King. So lift up the mighty shield of faith, for the battle must be won. We know that Jesus Christ is risen, so the work's already done. Praise the Lord. He can work through those who praise Him. Praise the Lord. For our God inhabits praise. Praise the Lord. For the chains that seem to bind you serve only to remind you that they drop powerless behind you when you praise Him. Oh, praise. For the thing.
Honey, last week we were expecting to get on to the second part of our discussion on the very beginning part of Ecclesiastes chapter 4. We usually would read a translation, and then we would do our own new translation in a modern vernacular to see how we might suss out some new ideas. Mm-hmm. We only got through the first half of that last week on verses 1, 2, and 3.
Right.
So this week, we're going to pick it up with the new translation that we've done of Ecclesiastes chapter 4. We'll read verses 1 through 6. This, by the way, is available to anybody who listens to this program online at CompassionRadio.com. Just go to the podcast page for each one of these Ecclesiastes series and download the study guide. Mm-hmm. We'd love to have you have it. Here's the first 6 verses in a modern tongue. I returned from my inspections, troubled by the abuse I witnessed. Those that labor hard under the sun were extorted and beaten down. I couldn't forget the tears of the oppressed, who knew they had no one to advocate for them. The powerful kept aggressively persecuting. The poor twisted in knots by their abusers. I praised the dead for escaping what the living must continually endure. Even better off is a one never born. They escape having to see any of the evil done under the sun. Again, what is the worth of work? Is it nothing but toil and sweat, no pleasure? Does success breed nothing but jealousy in others? It seems futile to succeed and vain to want success. It hit me like a blast of hot desert wind. Yet the idiot sits around with his hands folded, unwilling to work, while he wastes away. I suppose resting the hands is still preferable to white-knuckled, greedy grasping, which is the definition of vain futility. Mm. End of verse 6. So we're left with this quandary. The writer is still not knowing what the solution is to the problem of vanity.
Mm-hmm. A question that you asked earlier in our conversation before we started recording was, why is the king so morbid about the pain and the tears of the oppressed, but does nothing about it?
It seems like there's nothing going to happen.
He just seems to be overly personally concerned about it, but there seems to be no solution, no way that he's actually going to actively engage in doing something about it. He has the power to stop it.
It would seem that he would. I mean, everything we know about the powers of the kings back then were that if he says it, he just do it. Mm-hmm. And he is beholden, I suppose, to the Hebrew scriptures at that point. So there was a law, and that was handed down from Moses, which governs all things. It was a theocracy, God, word, civil law combined. Mm-hmm. The lawyers at the time would help suss out the differences between what is ceremonial for going to the temple, and what is legally binding for things having to do with contracts and land and family and inheritance and
general population.
Yeah, and going to war versus suing for peace. All those kind of things were in the same book. So they have to figure out, is this a civil issue? Is this a moral issue? Is this a God sovereignty issue? And they would have different approaches to those questions based on the kind of realm you're in, much like we do today with the courts. Is this something that is private? Is it public? Is it law? Is it individual freedoms? How do we compartmentalize these things? Because how we address them is dependent upon the quality or the content of the question. When we mess those things together or conflate them, we get really messed up. Today, we know full well that if we spend all of our time through the lens of politics looking at our word, we're going to get very messed up. Mm. Jesus himself is the law. So he's saying, if you want to know what the scripture is saying, look through me. Mm-hmm. And Paul makes that very clear too. In Christ Jesus, all things come together. And we have to remind ourselves of that day by day and don't let ourselves get sucked into a well of assuming we know what's right based on our previous experience or our beliefs. Mm-hmm. We don't ask God to come under us. We're asking him to receive us because he loves us. Mm-hmm. So I think that's probably the best we can say how to contemporize these issues and bring this word from back then into our own day. This is a king that should have all the power just to stop corruption. Mm-hmm. And yet he's not. I would say he's entering into at least the issue of sympathy. He's starting there. And sometimes that's the first place we need to go. Noticing the suffering of other people is a genuine first step towards a road of change. Mm-hmm. And sometimes we have to spend a lot of time just seeing the things that are around us for the first time. And we kick ourselves afterwards saying, how blind could I have been? Why didn't I see that?
Yeah.
And then later we might go further in this issue and say, I need to learn what empathy is. How do I actually go and meet somebody who's going through these things I'm witnessing? How do I make a friend? Mm-hmm. Would somebody even allow me to sit with them, to bring them coffee and talk about what they're going through? Mm-hmm. Do I even care about what others are experiencing?
Yeah.
That's empathy. And beyond that, we enter into the words that Jesus uses for love. Mm. The Greek words, again, agape is the big one. Phileo, those kind of things had to do with relationships, and storge about family. Do you feel like you belong? Those words defined the context in which love would exercise itself. But they were not the total explanation. They were a part of the bigger picture, which is love, God love. But if we can't enter into the kinds of love and say, there's more than just my family, but my family also needs me, even if they're not responsive to my love or my care for them, even if there's conflict within families, it does not mean that there's not a kind of family love that God wants to empower us to. When it comes to friendships, there is a kind of God love for friendships that is something that He empowers us to do, which lifts up and makes relationships so strong and so trustworthy that there's no hint of duplicity or falsehood. So that's one kind of love there. And the bigger one about serving others, what Jesus came to do Himself was, no matter what they are, family, friend, or enemy.
Serve.
You serve the purposes of God, because if you serve God's purposes, He promises to equip you to fulfill them. In your lifetime, in your context, He will give you the strength to serve others if you are willing to be one that God uses. Friends, before we jump back, I just want to remind you that Compassion Radio is a communications ministry, and it depends on the faithful support of you to keep bringing inspiring stories to the air each day. Our vision partners support us monthly with gifts large and small, and make it possible for us to take you to the very front lines of faith. Whether you join our vision team or make a one-time gift, thank you for believing in and standing by this ministry. We're here to bring you real good news in every situation. Just call us at 1-800-868-2478 to make your gift, and to request our special offer this month, the CD of Michael O'Brien's marvelous Crown Him music project, as our thank you. You can also text the word COMPASSION to 53445 to give right through your phone, or visit our website, CompassionRadio.com. Thank you, friends, for everything you've done and what you'll do today. We love you. No matter what they are, family, friend, or enemy.
Serve.
You serve the purposes of God, because if you serve God's purposes, He promises to equip you to fulfill them. In your lifetime, in your context, He will give you the strength to serve others if you are willing to be one that God uses. We don't become puppets or robots. We become collaborators with God in His good work.
Oh, I like that. Well, we have to be willing to put aside our own personal ideals and our own personal selfish wants. And even our own needs. We have to be willing to put those things aside to see the needs of others and to really enter in to their suffering or to their story or to their place. And if we're not willing to do that, then we will sit on the edge of sympathy even, maybe even kind of a antipathy, and just observe. Until we step in, until we take those steps, like you mentioned, into sympathy, to even see someone's life.
Acknowledging
their life. We can't go into any deeper relationship, even with our own spiritual walk. We just sit on the edges.
I think that's one of the reasons that Jesus was so concerned with us seeing the poor. The poor you have with you always. It wasn't to say that this, then that. He was simply saying that even when I'm gone, if you want to know me, if you want to be with me, the poor will be there for you. And so there they are. And we're not just talking about people who are poor financially. We're talking about people who do not understand that they can be wealthy in God things. That don't realize that God loves them so much that He's willing to give them an inheritance that cannot be surpassed. People that do not know that God created them for love and relationship and purpose and joy. We have those people around us now. And Jesus is saying, if we'll just see them, we can see Jesus. We'll see the kind of people that Jesus saw. And when you're looking through His eyes, you see the world very differently. So there's no problem with us asking God, help us to see people the way you see them. He promises us He'll help us to do that. If we're really willing to say it. If we're really willing to say, okay, this may be scary, but God, I want to see things the way you see them.
One of the things that you and I began to pray when God called us into Compassion Radio in a more in-depth way was asking God what He wanted us to see in the situations that we found ourselves in the places that we traveled. in the people that we met. God, what do you want me to see in this place? What do you want me to hear in this place? And then really just allowing God through the Holy Spirit to speak to me and to you. For me, that was such a mind-blowing exercise that I tend to now do it just in everyday situations. We talk about it a lot just in our everyday conversations. What does God want you to see about the situation that you find yourself in, Bram or Sandy or, you know, our kids?
We have challenged each other day by day on this.
Yeah. So I think that that is a very good practice to get into and just asking God, what is it that you want me to know?
They say it takes about 21 days to actually ingrain a habit, not just something as an intention, but something that you just don't even have to think about anymore. Right. What would happen if every single listener of Compassion Radio right now started their day before they even opened their Bible and said, God, what do you want me to see in your word today? And let him answer that question and begin the process of dialogue with you before you even open the book. And then let's say you finished your 5 or 10 or 15 or 30 minutes worth of devotion time and then close the book and said, okay, God, as I leave this place and go out in the world, what do you want me to see? Would you show that to me as I go? What if we did that for 3 weeks straight, every single day? What would happen at the end of that month? I don't know. But that's the kind of challenge that I think God is beginning to lean into us. You said something earlier about the kind of place that we find ourselves. When we stepped into Compassion Radio and took the responsibility for this program and for the ministry that shepherds it, we made the decision to be available to go anywhere that God wanted us to be. And that was an easy decision because we enjoy travel and we enjoy being out there and discovering things. I was not expecting that his call would be, you're going to be in lockdown like the rest of America and the world is going to be within a year or so of starting this job. The place that we find ourselves is the same place that our listeners are finding themselves right now, too. So the people that I'm locked down with are the people that are hearing my words right now. That's a recalibration for me. And I want to be faithful to that relationship as much as anything else and let our listeners know that because we are in the same room together, we do have a responsibility and an opportunity to build a relationship and to build in each other the things that God wants built, to pick up his tools and use them his way and exercise our abilities in ways that honor him and do it together. Some of that's going to be focused on our international partners still. We can still reach out to them by supporting projects. It's also going to be a measure of how much are we willing to step into his word during the time that we are together in this room. This, my friends, is the room where it happens. We are the ones that are making the future of the church possible because of our obedience, or we're tearing down the church by our selfishness. One of the two things is happening, and our children and our grandchildren will inherit whatever we leave behind. I want to build on a foundation that is Christ. Paul talked about building whatever you want to build, but if it's not built on Christ, what you labor in is vain. You labor in vain. You're wasting your time on anything that really matters. Let's not be those kind of people. Let's remind ourselves and let God remind us that what we're called to is a greatness of humility, of asking him what he wants done, asking him what he wants to do in us, and just being available. He'll take care of us.
We have to remember that we build our house on the rock of Scripture, on the rock of Jesus Christ. If we build it on the sand, it's crumbling underneath us. The sand seems to me to be a place of selfishness.
Yeah, it could be cozy and wiggle your toes in it. It's a great place to be if you're at the beach, but it doesn't hold anything up. Any strong wave or earthquake can suck it right down. I do not want to be sucked down simply because I took an easy path right now. But I don't also want to step into quicksand because I'm just determined to go a certain way that God says, do not go.
Absolutely.
How are we going to know? Because we asked him. So let's keep asking God which way we should go. And as we go through Ecclesiastes even further, we've only gotten 6 verses into chapter 4. As we walk farther into this book, that God would guide our steps so we don't step into minefields or quicksands of misinterpretation or misunderstandings, but to find that straight and narrow path through there, which helps us see what God sees and get the perspective that he wants us to have. Honey, we've gotten to the end of our first take on Ecclesiastes chapter 4. There's not enough time in the program to even go back and do the second part. We'll do that next week and pick it up from there.
There's so much meat in all of these verses, more than we even expected there to be.
Of course. I'm glad we get to dive in together to discover those things and get surprised by what God brings up between us in our conversation. And that is why we do this Chasing the Word series together. My friends, I encourage you to do the same thing with your friends, your family, maybe a husband and wife together, or friends and friend. And of course, the Bible study that we've written for this book goes chapter by chapter, and it's available at our podcast page. So if you'd like a copy of those questions and how we answer them, and the new translation chapter by chapter that we're doing, please do go to CompassionRadio.com and get your copy today. Sandy, thank you for your input on these first six verses of Ecclesiastes chapter 4.
It's been so much fun.
We'll be back next week and continue on with the rest of the chapter. Thanks for joining us again today.
Crown him the Lord of love, behold his hands inside. Rich wounds yet visible above, in beauty glorified. No angel in the sky can fully bear that sight, but downward bends his burning eye. A mystery so bright, yeah. Crown him with many crowns, the Lamb upon his throne. Hark how the heavenly anthem drowns a music but its own. Wake my soul and sing of him who died for me. And hail the matchless king through all eternity. A crown him with many crowns. Crown him the Lord of peace, whose power is scepter sways. Pole to pole that wars may cease, absorbed in prayer and praise. His reign shall know no wind, and round his pierced feet fair flowers of paradise extend, the fragrance ever sweet, yeah, ever sweet. Crowning the men, the Lamb upon his throne. Hark how the heavenly anthem drowns all music but his own. Oh, awake my soul and sing of him who died for me. And hail the master's king through all eternity. Crown him with many crowns. Crown him the Lord of years, the potentate of time, creator of the rolling spheres and effortly sublime. Oh, hail Redeemer, hail, for thou hast died for me. Thy praise shall never, never fail throughout eternity.
one room and then it cries.
Remember, friends, Compassion Radio is always a coalition of the willing. Are you willing to help get out God's good news stories of the kingdom really living the gospel in the 21st century? Oh, I hope so. Compassion Radio will continue to keep bringing you encouragement from the Word, inspiring stories from the front lines of faith, and awesome opportunities to make a difference for the kingdom around the world. But we need your help right now to continue doing just that. Please take a moment today to consider how you might help us to accomplish our unique media ministry and mission. If God has enabled you to support His kingdom purposes, please give generously where you hear God's word preached, celebrated, and lived. We need you, and we thank you for everything that you do and every prayer you offer on our behalf. Let us know you're standing with us and that you're chasing the word together with us. When you call or write us today with your tax-free gift, make sure to ask for Michael O'Brien's brand new music project, Crown Him, available on CD or for digital download. Our toll-free number is 1-800-868-2478. Our mailing address is P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. And you can find us 24/7 at our website, compassionradio.com. We'll see you tomorrow.